knowledge about water and water issues, water departments and so on. So he is coming, but before that happens, we might as well have introductions of those people here. I'm Ted Shore, chairman of this committee. We named it the City Utilities Committee last month at the meeting.
I'm Barbara Ann Nelson-Dodson, President Water, and elected to represent the sewer as well.
Donna Ziegler, Ops Manager for Lapine Water.
Adele Mullane, Adele McAfee, City Council. Those aliases get in the way.
Jane Benner, a member of this committee and Chair of the Chamber Economic Development Committee.
Tony DeBone, small business owner here in town.
And committee member. Ricky?
Vicki Jackson, Prudential Northwest Property and resident.
Barbara Hedges, City Councilor.
Don Griner, City Councilor.
Kitty Shields, Mayor, a couple times. Corey Fleming, personnel. Planning Commission.
Good. Moving right along. Next, we have added agenda items, and I wanted to move up on the agenda and have it in order to allow her to make her presentation is for Barb Ann to be on the agenda to make a presentation concerning the water and sewer.
Okay, so what we've done is made up some packets so that you will have these, and then what's left over, what you don't take home, you'll have for any of the citizens around that would want to know the question and the answers that we have going on here. I made a list of with the most important question, and it will look like this one. QA, got it?
No, you know, they don't have that.
Oh, they don't have it?
Or it's all right.
Dawn is in trouble. Okay, so the most important question asked is...
you want me to have Lana make copies?
I'd really appreciate having one.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought this worked off of our packet. Okay, well... I think you should.
When you make your presentation, you have a copy made for us.
Well, you guys, it would be a little easier for you, and that's why I thought you'd have them. So you could jot notes down beside each one of these in case you have other parts that you wanted a further explanation of. So why don't we bounce down to like four or something, and then when we get these copies back, I'll start.
The packet's very nice otherwise, Don.
Thank you.
Okay.
She's in trouble.
I'll have the approval of the minutes from the last meeting. I have one little typo.
Okay.
Correction in the minute for this one. I'm sure it's a typewriter's fault. on page three, Chair Shore says then discussed, didn't show then discussed.
Oh, yeah. And that's on page three?
Yes, and last paragraph.
Last paragraph. Okay.
Any other corrections or additions to the minutes? No. I'll entertain a motion.
I so moved.
Second. Moved and second to approve the minutes. Any discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Well, first of all, I guess even before that, are there any agenda items that we need to add on to put down further on the agenda? Oh, okay. We'll move on with five then. Adele, do you have any information on the League of Oregon City's recent acquisition cost?
Yeah, I came up with a zip on that one. He gave me a couple of ORS statutes, And it was just what Mike Solt had given us. Okay, this kind of summarized what I found. I put us on the listserv, it was about 2 weeks ago, for anyone having a similar situation or experience acquiring a special district. And I haven't, we haven't had any responses yet. So I actually didn't really come with anything.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's go back to Barb Ann then.
Okay. Now that you've got your Q&A paper.
Can we have them? We still miss them?
I know. The most common question is, how come the city isn't taking over the water and the sewer? And the answer to that is the water and sewer districts are outside of the limits, which means the districts have to agree to be absorbed by the city. And so, how come the water and sewer doesn't agree to being part of the city? And the answer to that is that there is no benefit to it for the residents or anybody around for anybody. And then the next question would be, why aren't there any benefits? Well, in the first place, the city would incur $4.5 million in debt and from the water and $1.5 million from the sewer, and so it's $6.3 million in debt. And they'd have to finance it. So, we've got some stuff from rural development, which is in this one with the X across the top of it, of start you out, sort of, with the process of financing it through them, or if they would even accept you. So, all of this stuff is for you to look at later and reference later. You don't have to, you know, go through all that. Donna started on just the financial part of it and found three forms that had to be started just to begin. And that, I mean, she didn't even get five pages into it.
That was page two.
And so I told her, just stop that, because we'll continue to do this, and when it gets closer to the time of merging, then we'll go further into that process. So, also, that funding needs to be at a really low rate, and USDA has our loans where you can see on the answer there that they're 4.5 and 5 and 4.5. Yeah. And they're really uncertain whether or not they would even allow you to take over the loans, which comes from Pam Swires, and she is the USDA lady that we deal with all of our money matters. Then the third reason would be that it doesn't it wouldn't benefit you, the city, is that all money, all of it, has to be either used to run the district or pay off the loan quicker, and that's all you can do with it.
Right.
That is where this part, the U.S. Wait a minute.
She with the highlighted.
The highlighted one,
yeah,
shows
that highlighted paragraph.
That highlighted paragraph states that they won't let you spend any money any other way than to pay off the loan early or to
operate systems.
So that's another downfall right now.
Is that just the SDCs, or is
all
revenues,
every penny of everything?
Yep.
And the SDCs can only be used to improve the system. So we can't spend the SDCs even. So they're SDCs like anyone else's.
Right.
So, but supposing we made, you know, $1 million over what we needed to pay back this year, we would either have to put that away for future development to help when our SDCs ran out, or give it to the loan people. Well, we're not really going to get another loan at this rate, so we don't give it to the loan people to knock our loan down. You know, I mean, we're not going to get it at this rate. So that's why if any money is ever above, and I stuck in some papers of, they weren't the budget, they were the, anyway, it shows the debt, how much the debt is.
Just a minute. Mike, you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Mike Solt, and I am Program and Policy Coordinator for the Special Public Works Fund with the Infrastructure Finance Authority in the state of Oregon.
I'm glad you had to say that. Thanks for coming, Mike. We appreciate that. We're at the point where Barban is presenting the point of view, not necessarily facts, I might say, of the water and sewer districts on...
Well, that highlighting document is a fact.
Excuse me, I'm talking about the City of Pine Utility Committee question and answer sheet. She's presenting it from the point of view of the water and sewer districts at this point. So,
thank you for inviting me, and I'm pleased to be here, so I'll get caught up as quickly as possible.
Okay. So then, number four, the other reason why there isn't a benefit is that you would have to hire someone to replace the volunteers that are currently managing the district. And I don't know who would disband and not want to do it, who wouldn't, but I'm assuming from what they've said that they would disband if you guys took it over, because why would you need volunteers? You took it, you run it yourself then, you know. And five, which the city may or may not need to find knowledgeable and or certified personnel to manage and maintain the districts. So six is that the transfer is expensive and a rather long process, which is also another quote from Pam. And we can't legally fund the process, so it would have to be the city would have to fund that process. Now, Ted's saying that these are my opinions, but these things and all this packet come from lawyers and the financing people and all of that. So it's not necessarily my opinion of this stuff. These are facts of what we owe, what would happen when you started that. We also have a paper in here, which
is... Just a second, Barban. Thought when you distributed this, you said it was for us to bring up questions and answers and discussion as a discussion piece.
Sure.
So I'd like to open the process at this point to discuss these issues and that question.
But could I just finish my one little paper here?
Okay, go ahead.
This is from a guy, and I don't know what city's doing, but I want to make sure you got this because you spoke about that. These are some of the things that he's having to do to try to take over
Ochoco.
I think it's Ochoco's water system. So
someone taking over.
Like your guys are trying to do. So this letter is very helpful for you.
Okay.
Because he is doing this, and he's listing a lot of the things he has to do to just get started. So that, I thought maybe you could work on him with that one. That's from the head of the USDA.
Okay,
Ted, so what's up?
Okay, I'd like to now to open for discussion on your question and answer, specifically in terms of the answers of those questions. I consider these as opinions and maybe not facts. Question number one, and other members of the committee can jump in at any point. How come the city isn't taking over water sewer? And the answer to that, water sewer districts are outside of the city limits, which means the district have to immediately absorb. That's not exactly a true answer, according to what we've had come to us, that they can be absorbed. Commissioner Unger mentioned that, and so did Clark Jackson, that didn't have to match that. But the last part of that statement, that the district has to agree to being absorbed by the city, or they have to agree to dissolve so that the city could take them over. And if anybody has anything different to say on that, then go ahead.
Well, it's my understanding that the water and sewer districts are under, have an agreement, an IGA agreement with the city, that that they've agreed that they were going to come over to the city when the city was able to absorb them. So that's not your understanding?
She needs to speak louder.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that the city has, it's my understanding, the city has an intergovernment agreement with the special districts, the water and sewer, that at some point that they will be absorbed, because when the city was formed, we had to agree to provide five mm-hmm. services. And Tim, what's the timeline on that?
They didn't have a timeline.
Well, then you technically, legally don't have to provide them yourself, as long as they are provided.
In the limits.
For example, City of Damascus doesn't provide anything themselves. It's all done by the county or special districts.
Okay. Well, maybe that's something we ought to look at, because my understanding was that the special districts and the city both needed to agree for the city to take it over. But you're saying that the intergovernmental agreement has wording in it wherein the water and the sewer districts agree that they will be taken over? Then we better look at the wording.
Yeah, I think that we better pull that.
Yeah. So that's clarified.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't my understanding, and if that's what the intergovernmental agreement states, I don't think you guys would sign that if you didn't think that that was what was the way that it was understood.
To be totally honest, these answers are for today. They're not for next year or 5 years from now or 10 years from now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
These answers are just today. Okay. The city is not big enough.
Right.
Or they don't have enough ducks in a row to even want to grab more ducks. You know what I mean? They don't get any money out of this. This is no benefit to them right now. I'm not saying that 5 years from now, when everything's running smooth and they don't have all of these other things that they need to get done, that we won't just go, okay, here you go. We'll get started on the process. So
just for argument's sake, can we say that everybody at the table is, we'll not say if, but we're saying when?
I prefer if when.
If when, okay.
I'm okay with when, but I'm not okay with 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years. I don't know that
time.
Yeah,
we don't know.
I believe that when these debts can go down to a more reasonable amount that you guys could finance them, and then not be under as stringent rules as the USDA. RD, I think that at that point that maybe you could use some of the money the way you wanted to, and when it gets to that point, then it benefits us, the consumers, the users, without having to raise rates absorbently or any of that, then I think it should go to you.
Mike, if you've got any comments to enter in here, please jump in.
Okay, thank you. No, you're going very well, right along.
Okay.
So, I'm not here to say, okay, this is it, guys. You don't get any benefits, and that's the way this goes. I'm just saying now. Kitty?
If you don't mind, I have a suggestion for rewording of the answer on the first one that might make it a little more clear and a little more accurate. What it is that a portion of the water and sewer districts is outside of city limits, mm-hmm. Which means that absorption by the city is not automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes in, that they do both have to agree. It's not automatic. The city can't just say, we're going to do this.
Well, USDA requires both parties to agree anyway. So,
mm-hmm. The reason these are cut and dried and short and sweet are because if you want to get down into the brass tacks of all of this stuff, we need to do it when it's closer to time. I don't want to go through and tell you exactly every single step you're going to need to take until it's closer to that time, because frankly, I'm a volunteer, and I don't want to spend my time doing that. I mean, I hate to say that, but I've been at this for a long time, and I don't want to do that.
Okay, let me restate the purpose of this committee. is to look at the whole issue of the city absorbing the water and do it. Sewer district and what it would take and how long it would take and so on. So the committee, that's, as I see it, is the charge of the committee to look at these questions and provide the city with the answers and the process. So it's not as though we're trying to do this tomorrow.
Right.
If we're looking at what is going to take. Let's go to the second one. Why doesn't water and sewer agree to become part of the city? Answer, because there is no benefit to the city or to water and sewer customers and residents who live outside the city and or district boundaries. That's up for discussion. I myself can look at benefits to customers and prospective customers in terms of maybe the SDC rates, the hookup fees, this type of thing that might be changed. I, you know, as a realtor and as a business person, we have lost two industries that I know of, to the city and to the industrial part because of those fees. So that's an issue we can look at. There could be benefits if the fees weren't, or if we were an enterprise zone, if maybe the fees could be addressed in terms of bringing in and enticing businesses and industry to come to this area. And if anybody else has anything to add to that, go right ahead.
I would have one comment that kind of relates to one and two, and that is that there is a law that requires that those users outside of a city limit, a city-owned utility, have to pay a reasonable adjustment in their rate to reflect that they're not within that jurisdiction's ownership. Now, that's a question to vet out, but I don't know whether it occurs only when services are extended by an existing utility to beyond the city limits, or whether it would have take place when, in the case where you're actually consolidating or absorbing.
My impression, and maybe I'm wrong, but that would encompass a very few small areas. There's only one small piece that doesn't fit the match with the city.
No, I was just wondering, is that sort of to accommodate because the people that live outside the city do not pay city property taxes, yet they're benefiting from a city sewer and water if they are hooked up, so they need to, in effect, pay more to make a more fair contribution to it? Is that?
I believe it is a reflection of that principle, yes.
Are there customers of water and sewer that are not in the city, or is there just land that doesn't have service to it?
We can't serve anybody outside.
Yeah, but there's a footprint difference.
No, that is land.
Just land,
yes,
not a specific hookup.
And
we don't have any hookups outside either.
There isn't that little sliver of land over, you know, where Huntington.
Yeah, that's the little triangle we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's just land.
Yeah, there's no hookups on that land.
But there's, I think there's services there that, I'm talking about the road that's on the other side of the nursing
Glenwood?
School.
Yeah. No. They are not in our district.
Okay.
There are some individual sewer systems there.
Water
systems. Yeah.
Water.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there is a water system there.
There's several in the area, actually. Ponderosa Pines has their own, different people. The SDCs are not set by us. They were set by the loan people. And that's why the SDCs are what they are. They are not something that we go, gee, we'd get another couple thousand out of this, and then people would run away. That, you know, they are set by the loan. When we agree to a loan, they tell us what we have to pay EDU, and they tell us what our SDCs will be.
So that was USDA that set that
thing? Yes. Those are set by them, not by us.
And then when we do our master plans, it's kind of true. When we do our, we redid sewer's master plan a couple years ago, and the SDCs were upped because the cost of sewer systems are very expensive. So we had our master plan redone. It's a 20-year master plan. to raise the SDCs for sewer to $5,700 per unit. And the reason why it's that is because we have to figure in how much it's going to cost to expand the system, and if we don't charge new people coming in, existing people would have to pay for it, which is very unfair.
I understand the purpose behind the SDC.
Right.
My question is, did USDA come up with the EDU system?
Did the USDA come up with the EDU system?
It was USDA and the engineer. They did a survey to find out. They didn't have anything to base it on.
They followed the city of Sisters.
They did some research and decided what's the closest to base it on.
What you don't realize about the water district is that when the first funding that came to us, they the basic rate was in the 40s. And I said, there's a little old lady on Social Security that can't pay $40 a month, and we're going to make her do this because she's in the city. We have to do something different. So fortunately, or unfortunately, Clamath County had drought issues. Well, we're water, there's drought. Any adjacent counties got money, so we got an added money. So that made it go down a little bit. Then I said, well, how about this little old lady? She's not going to use 6,000 gallons worth of water. And they said, well, the lowest we can go is this amount. And this was a five-year process to get it down from this $40 to $27.34. Our first funding, we worked and worked and worked with figures to get it at that point. It's not like we were happy. I wanted it to be a whole lot less myself per person. We all did, but when you have that type of funding, it's a hard job. Now, to see it, it's like I'm being attacked because the SDCs are what they are. No, I didn't do that. I'm not saying that.
It was
that.
A question, and I'm glad there was the answer.
And it wasn't, it's not us. We didn't say, okay, here.
Even at one point looked at a different option for funding and found out that we could not beat rural utility services. Remember that, the Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund?
Mm-hmm. And then we've also, we've got this big master plan of our own coming up, which means that in this master plan and growing and doing what we're doing, the water SDCs are going to go up. And I told Dick, I said, I don't want to go through any of this stuff. If any rates go up or anything, I don't want to take their money. I don't want to do that. SDCs, rates, or anything. And unfortunately, if we're going to grow the way that we need to grow, those things do go up, and that's not up to us. That is how it gets worked out in all of their mumbo-jumbo and presented to us. It's not that we go, here's a number. This loan people come up with the number, and we have to either agree to that or not. So in order to do any more improvements, say Kegel Acres is something that we're working at because of Wickett Junction was wonderful. We really made a lot of money. That was a lot of stuff. But Kegel Acres, for instance, there's enough people there that it's going to make more money for the water district. How the loan turns out is what we're going to have to base on whether we can even do it or not. Mm-hmm. And what kind of prices they're going to do to us again. So we'll look and look and look and look and look until we can find something that will work if we choose to do the Kegel Acres and give them the good water that we've got. Prices of things are, it's not that we just say, as the five people sitting there, this is a number, I like it, haha. It comes to us, and then we agree or disagree.
Okay, that's very useful information.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is on the same track, but I had a couple other questions too. I looked at, and this may be something that, you know, we can't answer right now. I'm just kind of throwing it out there.
Okay, I've got a page for that. I do.
I looked at the financial statements, and you know, the water and sewer districts have done a magnificent job of making this a very financially stable district. Mm-hmm. I mean, your current assets to your current debt ratios and just the amount of cash that you have, it's been well run. I don't think anybody has any question about that. It's been very well run, and it's very financially stable. And I was looking at the notes to the financial statement. I was particularly interested in the two parts regarding the long-term debt.
Is this water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because I know you're more water than you are sewer.
Yeah.
The revenue bond series 2005 was purchased by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and is payable in annual installments of $19,955, which is in your budget as an installment, at that great 4.5% interest. It says it requires the district to accumulate $1,996 per year.
One-tenth.
Yeah, okay. In 10 years. Account.
In 10 years, we have to have a full payment
set aside.
Okay. That's what that is.
So does that mean that in your financial statements where you have restricted funds and unrestricted funds, the restricted funds are the funds that you are acquiring to...
Yes.
Go along with the terms of the...
Yes.
Okay. So the funds that are, say, in cash then, that are those restricted in any way? And those are restricted in order for you to have funds to expand the system at some future date, or...
They're restricted to paying the loan off.
Yeah, they're restricted based on that highlighted paragraph.
They're restricted to just either spending it on operations, or something we throw into our budget, or loan payment. That's all we can do with that other money that is non-restricted. You know what I'm trying to say there. I mean, we can't use that money. It looks like we could.
Yeah, it kind of was kind
it,
of
it does.
Why I asked the question,
that's
because
why
it's just in cash, it's in CDs, and I'm thinking, well, if this isn't restricted, but then the notes of the financial statement,
I don't
even wonder, is it required somewhere that be reserved strictly for the expansion and maintenance of the systems? Not specifically, though. It's just understood.
It's this.
Okay, I'm
that one there. That explains the loan thing. That's why anything that's in there, if we're not using it on this, we can accumulate it and we can make interest on it and we can do that kind of thing, but we can't spend it on anything.
Okay, see, and that's
so
why
that's
I found
why
that
the yellow, that's
out.
Why the yellow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why the yellow is highlighted. So that's just part of it.
Of some of it.
But Don, I will just highlight that part so that we can show them that that's what it has to be spent on.
Yeah, because I think that's important for everyone to know. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right, and that same rule would apply if you were to go through USDA, that same would be in there.
Unless USDA, let's say the loans are not suitable, but they could consider the City of Lapine as a new applicant. And at that point, if they approved it to a new applicant,
that
possibly they would write a different loan.
I highly doubt it because they want their money.
Yeah.
And, excuse me, I'll interject here on the email that I read. And I think the information came from you, Mike, but the USDA would look at either transferring or doing a new loan for the balance with the city if both entities approved it and the districts approved the dissolution and they had the loan documents in place to put the city on the documents. Am I correct in that?
They would have to do the financial analysis on the city's ability to assume all of the obligations.
Yep.
And I don't recall, it's been a while ago. I recall the email, and I think I have it in my folder.
Yeah.
I have to look to see.
Yeah, Clark had forwarded on to me.
In talking to Pam with all of this stuff, that's why it says there that they are uncertain at this time, because they are aware of Lapine, how when it was formed, how much access and what you're worth, what your assets are, that type of thing. And that's why they're uncertain. Without adding sewer and water into that, you would have no hope. And they're not certain whether they would put sewer and water into that. This whole thing is their standard loan thing. Okay. So when you get into that,
this is the standard thing.
This is what they require of everybody. They don't fudge and make new paragraphs for Joe Blow. This is what they ask. And I know that because we've got different loans, sewer and water, and they're all this page.
This is an ugly
page. The only thing that's different is the dollar amount of the
bill. Yeah. This is an ugly page to have. You know, it tells you, you don't get to do nothing.
Being a banker.
But my point was that it's not an impossibility that it could happen.
At some future date.
And in terms of A4 and A5, city would need to hire somebody to replace the 5 volunteers. That's true, or establish another volunteer board to work with the city manager or the city administration in managing these.
I have a question on that one.
Sure.
So are these volunteers, do they hold their certifications?
No, they're just volunteer elected officials.
And they have to live in the district, and we actually need somebody, and we are going to have as hard a time as Kitty has getting commissioners to sit in this seat. I mean, when you say that you might get 5 more volunteers, I'm thinking, okay, well, I've been volunteering for a long time, and you know, we'll work on that. And even on the bills, we write, there is an open spot, please, anybody interested, you know. And
we're just trying to get a budget committee
together.
It's an act of Congress.
So we're talking board members then?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are actually counselors.
We're water commissioners. Directors.
And we're a board of commissioners. They're a board of, sewer is a board of directors, and I don't know why, what the difference is or how, but it all happens with Pinhollow, and we go, okay. So, we get our names, and that's about it.
If I could, I'd add one comment back to the financing, and while I agree with the earlier statement that this is a very good financing package, one just option that could be considered and out in the future is you could completely refund this finance or refinance this. Mm-hmm. The city of Lapine could sell bonds for the principal amount remaining. I mean, currently interest rates are lower than the 4.5. Mm-hmm. They're about 4.2. So that idea was brought up at a meeting I was at recently that, you know, even the state, when we sell bonds to provide permanent financing, that municipalities should be aware of the option to go ahead and refinance that on their own, perhaps getting a better deal. But where the threshold is, I'm not certain, on cost savings, but that would be just... Mm-hmm. This is a good package, so I'm not trying to bruise USDA's funding on this, but they're... You know,
it was excellent when we got it.
If you run into a transfer hurdle...
Yeah, and our engineer's been looking at funding. Because we want to expand into Kegel, and of course, again, USDA is the best that we can find.
It's probably lower than 4.5 right now, huh?
Yeah.
And I don't know what their offerings are, but and water or sewer?
Both.
There's some great water packages out there, right? I mean, safe drinking water was mentioned earlier, and it offers you know, much lower interest rate. The administrative requirements are much more burdensome, or a little bit more burdensome, I should say, of that project, but the interest rate is down in the 3.6, 3.8 range.
Yeah, I think we got 2.75 was our core.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That's why we love to do that.
We're in the low income area of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the input, Mike. My feeling is that the districts, when they first formed and looked for funding, were able to get the funding, you know, and use the fact that their revenue stream would take care of financing that or repayment of those loans. So the city would sit in the same situation, I think. In terms of A5, city may or may not be able to find knowledgeable and or certified people maintain, well, that's a requirement. You've got to be certified in order to manage a water district or a water system or a sewer system. And in this economic climate and employment climate, I wouldn't think that would be too difficult. Assuming that the districts now have qualified, certified people, those people may want to just switch over and become employees in the city.
However, by the time that something like this comes to pass, hopefully the economic climate will be a little bit better, and maybe, you know, because this A5 is up in the air for any business
anytime. It's
right.
Just in there because I can't speak for any employee that works underneath these boards, and that's the only reason it's there, whether they would be willing to work for a city or if they're happy working for a board of commissioners that meet once a month. So I didn't put it in there having to do with any person, place, or thing. It's just there because I don't know. I can't speak for them.
Sure.
And I of course.
Right. Well, and being taken over by a city, it would have to become PUC. And a lot of them, we're not PUC. We're not governed in any way by PUC. So we know nothing about PUC's rules and regulations.
PUC.
Public Utilities Commission.
Okay. So it would be another uphill learning curve.
Exactly.
Well, there's lots of challenges. I mean, nobody said that there wouldn't be,
the FISA has to go to PUC every year.
And the regulatory piece of that would be the state drinking water. Mm-hmm. And the, I don't know what the regulatory was for the sewer department is, but... So those pieces still stay in place, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. And just another one's added.
Yeah.
So it would still be a state drinking water program, DQ, and PUC.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay fees to PUC every year. A certain percentage of your gross.
Okay.
They want their cut.
Okay, moving right along. We're running short on time here. Did you have anything more that you wanted to add to your report, Fireman?
Yeah, I do. I want to tell you guys some things. I believe that this committee should have formed a bunch of questions and then came to the water systems and sewer systems and had the answers. It would have been easier than forming you guys and having a bunch of people doing a lot of things that I don't believe need to be done this year, next year, I think this committee is jumped ahead 5 years. When they were really needed. Also, there is a benefit to the city taking the water and sewer, and that benefit is that they could add a surcharge to each one of these for processing or whatever they wanted to call it, of a dollar or whatever. And they could make some money off of this. If they added a dollar to each of the rates, each of the people, we have 580 or whatever.
Each water and sewer bill is at about 1,400 EBs a month, so 2,800. So it would be $2,800 a month.
But if it went per business. So you could make money off of this. You could, if you were willing to raise the rates as soon as you took it over. And I don't want to come in here and say, absolutely no things are good for this. It would be, but you would have to raise rates, and I don't think there's anybody right now who wants to raise anything, even a quarter. But like I say, in the 5 years or whatever, when this comes to starting to happen... And I believe it should happen. I do. I just don't, I can't see the future, so I don't know when. None of us do. Also, if you have any questions, I know that the city has Donna's email for the sewer and the water, and if you could get any other questions that, you were really vague, Barb, so how about you come back next month and give us an answer on this and this and this and this. It's really easy for me to call Pam and get answers because I have dealt with her so much. It's easy for me to use my lawyer or use the special district's lawyer, which is free. So instead of having you guys have to pay some things. So if you have other additional stuff, I would like you to have it
October by the 28th, if it's something that is going to have a board give me their input on too. If it's a fact that you need, I don't care. It can be before the meeting, you know, a week or so. But if it's something that you want to know how the board feels about an issue, then email Donna before the 28th so that I can respond in next, the next meeting.
You can get it on our agenda.
And it goes on there. And last, this your comprehensive plan. The very first part of it, we're looking at $20 million that we're waiting for this comprehensive plan to go through, and I know you guys are working really hard and trying to get all of this together as best you can. I know you are, but the very first part of it says that the sewer and water are privately owned. And so it's on, I don't know what page it's on, but I know that has nothing to do with this committee right here, but it kind of bounces to this committee because of our funding to get other, to do other projects. But, so I don't know what, how that should be worded, but they aren't privately owned. And I just noticed it because it said sewer and water. I haven't had the chance to read through that because mostly I was trying to figure out what you guys would want to know and how to try to answer your questions. And I know there's a lot more questions you have, so after I go, you can talk this stuff over and say, okay,
review this information you gave us in detail.
Right, and say, okay, what about this and this and this and this? And my opinion, and the boards that we've discussed this takeover thing, this absorption, and when the city has a whole lot less to do, and when the city looks like that they could get funding that, or take over this funding, or the economy goes up, my guess is 5 years minimum, maybe 10 years minimum before this happens. I visit with the mayor, and she's a friend of mine, and so I know that she is aware of the long term it's going to be too. And then after the process starts, which it should have been in your packet, part of it, that stuff that you were looking for earlier on, what your acquisition thing. Anyway, I can't give you a year even, but I think as soon as it looks feasible and it looks good, the process should start.
Yeah, well, nobody would expect you to give us a year. I mean, nobody here or the city has any idea what the year would be.
Right. I'm looking past 5 years so that the city does not have this headache for at least that long. I mean, it is a headache. You know, we met once a week for a long time. And when you start doing this, you're going to, whoever does this is going to be a full-time job for them to start learning about all of this stuff. And then we started meeting every 2 weeks, and then finally we were able to meet once a month. I mean, it's something that I think that won't happen in the next 5 years. I don't think the city wants it to happen in the next 5 years. I think our next intergovernmental agreement is going to, our lawyers want it to be at least 3 years so that we don't have to keep coming back with different wording and do that. And so they're going to battle out the year amount again every time we sign it. And I think that the city just really is not interested in this because they can't get money. If they could get the money and use this unsecured money, I think that we should do it right away. But since they can't benefit money-wise, I just don't think it's going to happen very quick.
Thank you for your input, Barb Ann, but we've got other items on the agenda we have to cover, and we will get back to you. It's going to take some time to absorb the information you've given us, and I thank you for that.
We have some extra packets here, too.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you.
Oh.
The next item on the agenda is a report on a news release. Tony, do you have any comments on that?
So I guess I was thinking about the, you know, that action item and announcing right up. I was excited at the last meeting thinking I want to get the word out that we're doing this. And, you know, I heard that somebody was really upset from our last meeting, and so I kind of backed off on that. So, I mean, I'm not sure what we want to do with this now. So really, I mean,
would I suggest that perhaps we defer to the city council members to decide when they want to start having any information released about what this committee is doing, since it's the city's committee?
Well, and that's what it was. We were going to work with the city on that, for sure. But as I say, I mean, it was kind of, it was an idea at the last meeting that I was kind of excited about, and then a few days later, it just didn't seem like the right thing.
I think that we should continue the dialogue so that everybody is comfortable and on the same page, and we can move forward, because that's where we're moving. We're moving forward.
Yeah.
You know, so we might be moving forward a little bit slower.
Getting back to the agreement, the MOU.
The IGE.
If you could research that for us.
Actually, she gave us all copies. Okay. Did you get one?
Of
the intergovernmental agreement.
Yeah. I just made copies.
Good.
Great.
Good.
Well, we'll read that.
We can read that and come back next month with comments on that agreement and have a better understanding of what it really is. I thank them for that.
Was that from the city's records? Or
Did you get one?
I did.
I need one more if somebody had one. Or something.
Oh, I think it was two.
Did
you have one?
I don't have one either.
I didn't have a record.
Okay. No, she got one and I got one.
Okay.
I guess we'll just hold away on the news release issue.
And as I say, it was kind of an idea because we're announcing the meetings and everything, and it's just I guess the thought there was is that, and I think this is maybe an issue that maybe it would have been good to farm in to talk about this. You know, she said if we have questions, just come to them and ask those specific questions. But maybe it's more of a visioning state where we need to go, because I guess now I'm going to maybe talk too much here, but. You know, she says the volunteers that are currently managing the district and the many defined, knowledgeable, and certified personnel. One of the things was our city town hall meeting. And the concept is that the city's consistently looking for another counselor, and they're looking for their directors and people too. And I don't think we're going to need multiple public boards for these districts. I mean, the city council would be the one board.
Yeah.
There may be a city manager at some point, and then the staff underneath them. We don't need three and five people a couple times. So that's a visioning, though, is my point. I mean, we need to be clear on that. So I would really like to be able to sit down with an open visioning process, because some of the reasons, and, you know, as I say, out of this meeting, I got some feedback about what I said at the last meeting, and I always try to put a scenario together about the positive outcomes of this, you know, there may be some positives here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I think the positives, the first time we've had an open discussion with you, and learned some information about the districts and how they're funded, and that, I think that's an extreme positive.
So I guess officially on my news release thing, I'd like to strike it from follow-up at this point, because we're going to have regular meetings on however they flow, and you know, it was kind of an idea at the time that it'll come again at some point.
Jane, any word on availability of grants?
The only thing I had is that Mike answered my email and told me about the possibility of some grants that we could look at, and since he's knowledgeable one on that, you could probably talk about it more quickly than I could.
Okay, probably the most accessible is from what's referred to as the Water Wastewater Financing Program. It is a technical assistance planning grant that can provide funding for financial feasibility studies, master plans, just a whole array, so it's related to a utility.
Districts and cities are eligible applicants for that program. The grant amount is up to $20,000, and then there is the ability to combine that grant amount with a loan amount up to $50,000. So there's combined funding totaling $70,000 available for those technical assistance projects, loan and grant.
And Dylan, I, when I was waiting for the meeting, Patty lent me your issue of the League of Oregon Cities about upcoming things, and I noticed there's a session on water, wastewater issues and
financing.
Yeah,
offered by Rural Communities Assistance Corporation, is that it? RCAC, I believe, in coordination with a lot of the funding entities. And I know that was in the works. I first meeting was held beginning of January to orchestrate locations and dates and so forth. So I'm not aware of the specifics myself, but it is coming up. They're done once a year, usually in April or May, I believe.
So would there be a website we could go to find out when that's actually occurring?
That's in the your League of Oregon City
okay.
thing.
Okay. Good.
The technical assistance grant would be, we try to have a scope of work, a prepared scope of work, and with readily available information to address those questions or items within the scope of work already prepared for it to go forward. So that would be the background work or the beforehand work that would need to be done in order to submit for that funding. And
so could you assist us in getting that funding? Or?
Sure.
Good answer.
The list of questions here, you know, they're going the right direction. You're gonna answer these. There's gonna be some that aren't answered. You're gonna work on these and answer them to your satisfaction. And then there's gonna be some details that okay, this is what it hinges on, and those are the items that would make up the scope of work that we'd be willing to fund. That. So, I the statement was made that you're too early in this investigation and so forth. You know, maybe it is 5 years out, but identification of the hurdles and things that need to be addressed, I don't think you can ever be too early on unless things change and become very dynamic. But
I'm being naive into assuming that it's a viable financially, and absorbing it would not change that component, right? It's somehow these numbers don't really scare me, because we, you know, just...
Well, I would think, and again, my background in banking, if someone is absorbing another, let's just say business, and a business is absorbing another business, they take in that business's assets and liabilities, right. And their revenue stream.
Right.
So, assuming that the city were going to do this, the city would take over the revenue stream, even though it is restricted funds, and they would probably have to operate under the same guidelines.
Which is everywhere.
I would think that a lender would consider that they have this additional revenue stream to cover this additional debt load. So, it seems like it's, for like a 5-year business plan or whatever, it's feasible to look at it.
Right.
Yeah, I think that you will have to maintain that revenue stream. And there was discussion of equivalent dwelling units earlier, EDUs, and that's a very common, we use it. We have a set amount of gallons that equates to one EDU, and it's simply a tool that's used to do a funding analysis, a financial analysis. And combined with that, we use what's called an affordability index, which is basically a percentage of the median household income with an area, and that gives us a rate that can be across the board. So you use 1.75% of the median household income, and again, it's just an index or an indicator that says this is what rates should be to be affordable. Mm-hmm. Heavy quotation marks there. So it's different for a large city with a high MHI as opposed to a small city. So it levels the playing field for a funding agency to determine at what point are grants necessary
to make a necessary project affordable for that community. And you see how that works. And so that's basically similar process that USDA went through, saying, okay, an EDU, the rate is set at X amount, and that would be affordable. But in order to make the loan pencil out to generate the revenues necessary to make the debt service, it's got to be picked up someplace else. And if there's capacity within that new capacity for the infrastructure within that project, they will probably pick that up with SDCs.
That says Barb Ann was explaining that they set the SDCs higher because they wanted to keep the 2740 as the lowest usage bill.
But that's typically the way that works. Somewhere the revenues need to be generated, and it's split between the user rates and the other sources of income, which SDCs are typically, unless there's some other earning capacity within the system. So the reason I go through that detailed explanation, depending upon what your goals are, you know, what you need to think about your benefits. If it's, we're going to reduce costs, maybe not. You know, just, you know, the SDCs may need to be where they are unless you're going to generate revenue someplace else.
Right. You clarified a point, though, that the EDU, based on gallon usage type of situation for household, and I guess one of my problems with their current system is they've used EDUs in terms of industrial usage, and it's apples and oranges. You need to look at the gallon per usage rather than an equivalent dwelling unit, because industrial uses are entirely different than even for. For instance, restroom uses, and I'm going to use Mid-State Electric as an example. When they built their new facility, they put in an over amount of restrooms so their employees didn't have to run clear across campus to get to a restroom, and they got charged on EDUs for those, even though they had an X number of employees, and maybe that one employee used it once a day that was in that area, but they got charged.
Well, I'm sure there's a certain formula that they're required to follow, though. I don't think they can make individual choices on how they assess
that. No, but if it was used more on a gallon usage and so on, rather than an equivalent dwelling, because then the dwelling is an industrial site.
Well, and we as a funding agency use the gallon, and you're right, there are a number of different ways to calculate an EDU for a district or a purveyor to use it, to develop a system for an EDU. It may be a number of certain size fixtures. I've seen a certain size service, water service, equal, you know, like a 3/4 inch service is one EDU, a 1 inch is 1 1/4 EDUs. It's from a funding agency perspective, and I'll touch upon the industry. I mean, we look at it very objectively and say, if 7,500 gallons equals one residential EDU, we're going to set the rate for that residential $25 per EDU, and an industry comes in and it's going to consume 5 EDUs worth of water, our feeling in order to generate revenues fairly and equitably is they do get charged for 5 EDUs.
I have no problem with that.
Based on the gallon. But that is a very politically determined, and it fluctuates. There's no set reason for that. That's a council or board decision as to how they want to accommodate commercial, industrial, or residential rates.
Okay. Thanks for your input, Mike. And of course, you we consider you as an expert advisor to this committee, and so you're invited to every committee meeting, and we meet on the third Thursday at 3:00.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Cost analysis of insurance and legal fees between cities and the districts. Do we have any information on that? I don't know if anybody was assigned.
I don't know that anybody was assigned that.
Okay. We probably ought to look at that for future, if you could help us with that one, that'd help.
Okay.
Okay.
I can work with you.
Okay,
sure.
Okay, open any public comments of items not on the agenda?
Oh. Vicki. Hi, Vicki Jackson, 17346 Main Court. I've got a question, and I don't know, and unfortunately Barbara Ann's gone. with the I'm part of the CAG group and the Deschutes County Financial Advisor, and we have the local rule passed and we've got it overturned. But I guess February 4th is when DEQ is going to be meeting and all the other government entities, and I didn't know, I was wondering if the sewer was thinking about attending and maybe expanding, because like some river, I understand, is going to be expanding, possibly the DRH. But even, you know, with the city, you know, like what Tony said, vision, what is for the future. Because we have, you know, if we want to help with the septic or water thing, I didn't know if that's in their plan or not. I know you probably can't answer it. But my thought is that, you know, taking over the sewer or them expanding into other areas where some river might come down to, say, Rec Road, Lapine Sewer might want to go up to Rec Road.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a special district.
Yes.
And they can only operate within the district.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And they'd have to expand the district in order to take in those. And,
right.
And so that would take a vote of the people and all
to
that.
Do that. Okay.
But right now they are looking at expanding into Cagle, the Cagle mm-hmm. area.
In the city's comp plan, I believe that there's something to the effect that this city would be allowed to serve as area outside of the city limits. So if it were, the district was larger,
mm-hmm.
then that would take care of that.
Okay. Any other comments on items not on the agenda?
I'd just like to say thank you to everyone for the time that you're putting into this. Mike, thanks for being here with us. I think it's always going to be a battle to get some people to understand why the committee was formed. It is to look into the feasibility of this at one point of my work.
Yeah, right.
Some of us understand that.
Well, thank you all for coming. We will adjourn till next month, third Thursday at 3 o'clock, which is the date. Third Thursday would be the 18th of February at 3 o'clock.
This seems backwards, except for, well, we've got new items and Steve Counselor's in the back row.
No,
we wear many hats.
We know that.
It's hilarious. And, well, I know my dad, but I didn't know one today.
Pardon?
I didn't hear what anybody said about one.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah.
Oh, that's me.